The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you, as always, for joining us today. We actually have a third person on today.
We're doing a little menage a trois.
Another one. We're back, and it feels good. And today's guest is calling in, and we're doing this three-way Skype situation from Atlanta, right, Brandon
Atlanta.
Styles?
That's
DJ
right.
Extraordinaire?
DJ Dr. Brandon Styles, attorney at law, now retired. So, yeah, we are... calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. It's hot down here. It's about 100 degrees. And you guys are in California, right?
No.
I'm not.
It's confusing.
Okay. Okay.
We're all over the place. I'm in Boston.
And all I'm right. in Texas. I'm in Dallas. So it's very hot here as well.
But I often am in California. And Christy used to be in California.
Yeah.
We're all over the place. We're
everywhere.
We started
together in California. And Michelle, I think you recorded like 12 episodes when you were in the Bay.
Well,
last
yeah,
because
I was
right?
there like pretty much half the, you know, 5 months.
Yeah.
I'm bi-coastal, Brandon.
Yeah, and I don't know where I got California. I think it just felt, you guys had the California vibe. So maybe that's a...
We're California cool.
Yeah, maybe that's where I got it from. I don't know.
I think our voting records are pretty Californian too, if you looked those up.
Okay.
The what?
Our voting records, Michelle.
Oh, hell yeah.
Don't you think they're in line with the California...
Yeah, totally. And I've also been told I have a California accent, so that might be...
You have been told that. That's interesting, because a California accent is supposedly like no accent.
Well, it's because that's what everybody hears on television normally, so that sounds like normal to you. But like my friend here, her name is Megan, and she's from New England, and she says that I say her name like with a long A, like Megan. And it's supposed to be like Megan. And I say Megan. And then I say legs and eggs. And she just makes fun of me all the time.
That interesting.
I should see, you know, that I'm just like so totally California.
So that's California is the long A. I didn't know.
I didn't know either.
I didn't either.
Out of the three of us, Brandon, you have the best accent, and we talked about that after the first time we talked to you on the phone, when we got off the phone, and then we talked about you, because that's what we do after we have an initial call
with
someone.
We totally talk about people after we
Yeah,
talk
we're like, what did you think?
Phone?
What did you think? And I was like, I like his accent. There's like, it's always been like a Georgia or like a, I don't know, Savannah.
Seven.
Yes, those like sleepy Georgia towns that we hear about and we see on TV or movies or whatever that have like the soft, sweet Southern accent. Like Texas does not have a soft, sweet accent. It's like a hard R, and it's kind of like you hold your jaw tight, and it's not like this like lilting, pretty, like mint julep on the wraparound patio kind of accent.
What did the guy in the Andy Bernard in the office said? It's like a talking in molasses, something like that. He was like,
like a slow, you know, sort of melodic. Yeah,
I feel like we kind of need some brown music for this episode, because so far we're only 4 minutes in. We've said menage a trois, bi-coastal.
Well, you're reading into that.
Melodic accent, you know, whatever. Who knew? Who knew wedding podcasts could be so passionate?
You can't blame us, because Brandon, you are the one that reached out to us. So tell us a little bit about, like, you started this, essentially, is what we're saying.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
You heard about our podcast or whatever, saw something about it and listened to a couple, and then thought, I got to tell these chicks about what I do, because I'm not just your regular average wedding DJ. I have something else going on. So what is that magical other thing?
That's right. Well, I do something a little bit different than most DJs do. Most DJs, you know, show up and perform at the wedding and play the music and bring the lights and it's all great. But I actually do a little bit on top of that, and I teach people how to take my job. So in other words, I teach people that maybe want to DJ the wedding themselves. There are a lot of DIY brides and weddings today. I teach them how to do that, to DJ their own wedding. And I've got a book that just came out with a video course and just kind of walks you through step by step how to go about doing that so that you kind of can take me out of the picture but still have a great wedding.
And why do that? Did you find there was like a need, maybe based on budget or just people's desire to cut out a vendor and do something themselves? Like, it's a supply and demand thing, right? So you had to have seen a demand for this.
Exactly. Well, so I'm a big Redditor. And on, and so all the time there are whole DIY, even DIY wedding subreddits, and people get on there and they'd be asking a ton of questions. You'd see it a lot of, hey, I want to DJ my own wedding, but do you have any friends that successfully did it, or do you have people that did it well? And I just saw it all the time, and instead of reaching out and being like, hey, here's some tips that you could do, I was like, well, shoot, I could write a book and put out a course and walk people step by step through a whole thing and help them out. Because my reasoning was, if people are looking, you know, with the advent of Pinterest and stuff, if people want to do it themselves, it's not like I can hop on a phone and be like, no, you need me. Like, only we can do it. Pros, leave it to the pros. There's some pros and cons with that, obviously, but you're not going to convince someone to totally change their mind on a DIY thing. So I was like, I can help them do that.
And make a little bit of money helping them.
Make a little scratch on the side. You know, that's a good thing to do too. So kind of how can I help people while still, monetize the people that want to do it themselves.
So I want to throw out there that when you emailed us, mm-hmm. and I thought, this is interesting because I am seeing this a lot more, but I'm also, I want to say that this is going to be for some listeners out there who are DJs. It's going to be a little controversial. I mean, this might piss some people off, mm-hmm. because, you know, certainly as a professional, I'm like, listen, you can get your friend to be there on your wedding day. Sure. But there's no way she's going to do what I can do, right? Mm-hmm. But Christy and I have talked about this a lot. Like, there are people with all ranges of budgets and styles and, you know, priorities. And so, for example, I have a wedding coming up in September. And it's going to be a lovely wedding. But they have a very limited budget. And they're very good friends of mine. And they and are going to be putting together their own playlist. They're going to be their own DJ. And so I was like, okay, this is interesting. Because I told her, you know, like, I'm not going to be the DJ.
Right, or the MC.
You know, like, I mean, I have been known from time to time, I have a voice that I can MC a little bit. But, sure. But I'm going to be there, like, working on the wedding day, like, taking care of everything. So, I thought this was especially interesting having that couple in mind, that there are people out there who need to do this. And I also want to say that I very much respect what you do, Brandon, as a DJ and all of the DJs that we've worked with, because there's nothing like having someone there, you know, doing it live, reading the crowd, making the announcements. And not, you know, I think a lot of people are like, oh, DJs are cheese ball, you know, and certainly there are some, but no, the majority aren't. And so I kind of wanted to throw that out as disclaimer that we still believe that if your budget allows, you should have a professional there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That we understand that there are people who have limited budgets, you know, want to do this that way.
And we try and we're really conscious of, like, not just talking about one type of wedding on the podcast and one type of budget or one type of bride.
Right.
But I mean, to the first, like, when we were first, like, looking into what you do and the how to DJ your own wedding idea.com, mm-hmm. I was skeptical, like, why is this guy telling people, you know, how to do his job? And then Michelle was like, well, we're kind of telling people, like, by having a podcast, we And we, that's a selling point. We can tell our brides and our clients now, like, hey, if you only hire me for month of, but you're listening to the podcast, why don't you listen to the budget episode, the timeline episode, and the photographer episode? Because that will answer some of your questions. But her point was like, your point, Michelle, was like, we're kind of doing the same thing. And like, we're talking about our jobs and we are giving people maybe inside information about wedding planning essentially for free, right?
Right.
And trying to put more of ourselves out there. So, you know, in that, when you frame it that way, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, you saw a need and you're meeting it.
Mm-hmm.
These, a lot of times, these couples, Brandon, and you said this when we talked on the phone before, like, listen, if they want to do this and I have the knowledge, let me help them. I want to help them because at the end of the day in this business, yes, we're in business to make money. Like, we're trying to make a living.
Yeah.
But we also care, being in the wedding industry, about these couples and, you know, like, we want their day to be awesome.
So you thought, I can teach them how to do it the right way.
Exactly. And at no point in the book do I come out and say, hey, after you read this, you're going to be able to do exactly what a professional does and it's going to be the exact same. It's like, no, you can only go so far as your first time.
Right.
Now, as DJs, we don't have any magic abilities. It's just a result of experience. And we can read a room and kind of anticipate problems or anticipate speed bumps, but it's just a lack of doing it for, or it's just a result of doing it for, you know, 5 years and doing 200 something odd weddings. But like you said, I think by teaching people and educating people, it does a few things. One, it obviously brings in those customers that normally I wouldn't have had, that people that are looking to do it themselves. So it brings in and allows me to help and even profit a little bit off of those people. But it also is kind of trust-based marketing. And what it's doing is giving out free education information, kind of exactly like you guys are doing, positions you as an expert and an authority in a market. And I think that leads to even more opportunities. And people want to hear your story and contributes.
And you did one more thing. I mean, you wrote a book. So that's like kind of cool just on its own. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. you can be like, hey, wife, we're buying this house together. And every day I think to myself, I wrote a book. Like, I've written a book. I have my own company. I do what I love. And I wrote a book. That's pretty mm-hmm. cool, like, on its own.
And you were just on the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
I know. That's huge. What I'm
there you go.
This is a milestone in your career, sir.
Huge.
It's come full. There's a huge bottle of 10-gallon champagne right off screen. You guys can't see it. I'm going to pop it as soon as we wrap up here today. And,
totally.
And just enjoy it. So.
Awesome. Totally. We do that after every episode. We're
and before.
Big
before.
Day drinkers.
Yeah, right on.
I want to ask like some questions about just your experience in being a DJ, but I did want to mention that I got married on a very, very small budget with a very big pregnant belly. And
bun in the oven.
Yeah, we didn't hire a DJ. It was like a really short timeline to plan it and just, you know, a small budget. But I put to being a wedding planner, I put together a list on my iPod.
iPod.
Can you believe that? My little red iPod Nano. And I think all I did was beginning cocktail hour music and then music for dinner and then music for dancing. But, you know, maybe 10 songs in each one. We did have musicians for the actual ceremony. But I think back to that, and I was definitely the one up there, like, moving the little circle around to find the next song. And when somebody would be like, hey, let's play, you know, pour some sugar on it or whatever, I'd be like, oh, I have that one. And I would go up and do it. I was totally sober, which is like a downside
That's
of being
true.
Pregnant
yeah,
on your
you
wedding.
Got the baby coming. Yeah.
But I remember it was fine. It was totally fine. Like, we danced, we had a good time. And if I could do it all over again, I would certainly try to allocate money to have a DJ. But if I were going to do the iPod route again, I would be more informed about it. I would look into some of the stuff that you're going to talk about, I guess. But, you know, it wasn't the end of the world to not have a DJ. I will say that from personal experience.
Exactly. And I think, you know, here's the thing about weddings is that all your close friends and family are there and they want to support you. You know, it's not like you're going in with a bunch of critics and they're like, you know, this guy better not screw up. It's like no matter what happens, people are there to support you and do their best to have as good a time as possible because they want you to have a great day. They want it to be the best day of your life. So they're not going to be sitting around being like, hey, you know, Jerry, the music sucks, man. Like, your wedding sucks and all
unless
that.
Unless all
you know,
your friends
so.
Are assholes, in which case
yeah.
it's not going to be fun anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, DJ wouldn't have saved that no matter what. So you're good. It's either going to be really bad or really good, no matter how you slice it.
All right, let's let Brandon talk a little bit. Let's talk about briefly about your experience in this industry. What makes you the expert, Brandon?
What makes me the expert? Good question. Well, I started about 4.5 years ago now, and we started with doing mostly live bands because that's my background as a guitar player and as a band leader. And you guys have seen the trends of, at least it's been this way in my experience, people move more towards DJs because they want to hear the exact songs the way they're played, and it's definitely cheaper than hiring a band. So just kind of followed that trend and interned under a few cool DJs. I was living in Nashville at the time and had a few guys, Brian Snyder out of Nashville, Tennessee, kind of took me under his wing and showed me some stuff and brought me up in the dark arts of DJing, as it were.
For weddings and specifically?
Weddings specifically.
Okay,
mm-hmm,
so you weren't
exactly.
like a club DJ that moved over. You were a musician that moved into it.
Exactly, it. Yeah, and I would not be proficient at club DJing, I don't think. Like, I've seen that guy, and I've got a few friends that do it, and it's just a totally different skill set.
Yeah.
It's like learning to play a guitar versus... Well, I don't know. I don't have a great analogy for that. I thought a stroke of genius was going to come down. But
versus
it's not, but it's,
being a chef.
Yeah, almost. It's just a different skill set of DJing. Yeah.
So is your company now is Uptown Down Entertainment, and that's DJs and live musicians and bands and runs the gamut for events.
That's right. And so we do, our primary focus is weddings, but we're moving into kind of more of the weekday corporate events, which allows me to have a little time on the weekends to, because you know most weddings are going to be on Saturdays. I actually had one on Sunday morning this past weekend.
Nice.
So that was cool. You know, you're done at 2 o'clock and can kind of spend the day with family and friends. But yeah, you know, weddings, we work when everyone else is playing, I guess.
Yeah.
During the weekends. And so we're taking the live bands and DJs and moving it to a little bit of the corporate realm as well, just to kind of drop a few Saturdays and bring on a few weekday things.
And then with having your own company and also doing, you were and are still an active DJ. You're not just running mm-hmm. the company.
No, still actively doing it. Yeah. Still playing just about every weekend.
And then on top of that, there's the how to DJ your own wedding stuff. Happening.
Exactly.
Let's start with that rundown then of the we have a million listeners.
All right.
We have a million listeners and they're all in the process of planning their wedding. And, you know, what would you say to those that are thinking, I don't know if we have enough money for food and a DJ and we really need the food. So let's just put together a playlist. And they find your website, so...
Absolutely. So, yeah, you want me to run through the 10 steps?
Yeah, like, you're talking to people that are just totally new at this. Like, we're thinking about doing this ourselves. So, how do we do it?
Gotcha. So, what I would say to someone is the first thing that is going to make or break the wedding and the vibe is the playlist you put together. So putting together an awesome playlist is going to be your number one thing. That's what I get the most questions about. That's what I get the most pushback on of like, I don't know, it sounds kind of hard. So putting together an awesome playlist is going to be the first one.
I would think that would be the fun part. You feel like people, that's the challenge for people?
I think it's both because you're kind of tasked at that point as being your own DJ. The responsibility of people having fun kind of falls on you, right? So it's fun for sure putting together your songs, but a lot of people, you start to second guess yourself and they're like, well, crap, you know, if I throw in this super slow jam from like my uncle's garage band in the 70s, like what if no one dances? And people start getting like a little freaked out about it.
Mm. Well, I was going to say therein lies the problem, because you may have somebody who has very specific taste in music.
Yeah.
That most people don't. And so you could be putting together what you think is an amazing playlist, mm-hmm. but everybody else is going to be kind of like, what is this?
You guys, I was just listening to NPR this morning, and they were talking about how like religion and politics were always the two things you're not supposed to talk about at a dinner party. But these guys were on, that was the third element of that, is if somebody says like, I love Dave Matthews Band, and then somebody else, like your friend, is like, I fucking hate Dave Matthews Band. That band sucks.
Horrible. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, they were talking about how that is a direct reflection of yourself. You're like, if you hate Dave Matthews Band, then you hate me. Like,
yeah, it's super offensive, right?
That a person's personal, like their favorite music, if it's insulted by a friend or family member, it's often very hard to come back from. They were like talking about how people are strangely sensitive about their favorite music.
Now, basically, you're saying I'm a total dork, and you've embarrassed me in front of everybody.
If you don't like Dave Matthews,
Dave Matthews,
can you imagine Michelle's the world's biggest Michael Jackson fan? Can you imagine if
so this is
was
hard
like,
being
I
in a group?
Get it? What's the
no?
Hype
it
about?
Happens with a lot of people. They're like, he's a blah 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 blah. He was blah blah. How can you? Ew. And I'm like, I have to take a few breaths right now and like walk into the other room.
You're like, I'm considering whether I need you in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get it. People. So living in Nashville for a few years with my wife, and I was a songwriter in Nashville, and I would get that from my friends back home and be like, what do you think of country music? Like, country sucks right now. And it's offensive. It's like, what the heck, man? Like, and then you're trying to defend yourself and be like, if you only knew the traditions.
Okay,
and
listen to this one song and tell
yeah,
me this
exactly.
sucks.
Tell me this doesn't tell you a story and play to your heart.
I dare you to see Garth Brooks live and not fall in love. God damn it.
Exactly.
Okay, so I can see how putting together an awesome playlist could get in your head. Like, you're paranoid that no one's going to love your music.
Brandon, do you have tips for putting together an awesome playlist? Like, what do you tell people?
Yeah, here's what I was going to say. And here's the rub, is when you start putting it together. So it's obviously, you're probably the bride or groom doing this, and it's your day and it's your big day. But keep your guests in mind while you're putting this together. So if you're going to have 80% old people at your wedding, let's say, then you might need to kind of like cater to that a little bit, and might need to pick songs like older folks love the disco and the Bee Gees and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I would say, is keep your guests in mind, and also pick fun songs for all generations. Like, everyone loves 80s, everyone loves the 70s, they're good dancing songs. And if you're putting together your playlist, I would get on the internet and just kind of type in top 25 wedding dance songs, and you can find a ton there. Of course, in our book, we give you a full 120
recommendations.
Song playlist.
That's exactly what I was just going to ask.
Oh, you do? You put that in? Oh, good.
Yeah. So that whole song list is in there.
So you're like, these are the, like, you cannot go wrong playing these songs.
Exactly. Yeah.
And do you have like links to them? Like, do you recommend Spotify? Do you recommend iTunes, Pandora? What do you recommend?
All those work great. I recommend Spotify and Apple Music as well. It's kind of the same thing, but I just go with Spotify because it's what I personally pay for. And so in this book, I actually give you a link to a curated playlist. So it's a DJ Your Own Wedding thing. So you can click on all the songs that are there. We can't give downloads and stuff, because then you get into all sorts of legal trouble of giving people songs and pirating tunes. But there's a link to a playlist, and you can run down the full playlist. And also in there, I give you, this is talking about putting together a playlist as well, what I call CPR songs.
And CPR songs.
Yeah, CPR songs. And basically it pumps life back into a dead dance floor, because sometimes no matter what you do, the songs could be just the perfect choice, but people, for whatever reason, are just going to leave the dance floor. It happens all the time.
So what is your number one CPR song right now? I have to know.
The Wobble. Easy.
What's The Wobble?
What's The Wobble?
You haven't heard The Wobble?
She's been out in California doing very small, very hipster weddings. They don't do the wobble out there.
No, not a lot of room
it's
for
like
for
a line
wobbles.
Dance, Michelle.
How does it go?
You got to YouTube
with
it.
Wobble with me, da 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 wobble. Get in there.
And yeah, it's like, yeah, to the left. And everybody, people love it. It tells you what to do. So even old people like me love it. And I feel kind of cool doing it. Yeah. Do you get out there, Brandon, as a DJ? Some DJs like get out on the dance floor to wobble.
I have to be super inspired to do that. So it's like not a, it's not a common occurrence. And I don't want to steal the spotlight. Like I dance behind the table, because it gets lonely up there as a DJ. You're there for 4 hours. People just come up and they get mad when you can't play their song that they want to hear. And so I just express myself through dance behind the foldaway table.
Nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you this. If you're going with an older crowd, hipster crowd, another song that works great is, which was a shock to me, "Staying Alive" by the Bee Gees.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Huge one.
So retro.
I can see that. Yeah.
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 That's another big one. So I've got a playlist of just CPR songs, and there's like 10 of them.
I love the CPR songs.
Yes, CPR songs.
You have
and
to send
like,
that to us. We need to have that in our like emergency kit for wedding
days. I need to have a Spotify playlist called, you know, CPR songs per Brandon Styles.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, curated by Attorney at Law Brandon Styles. So that'll be great.
Okay, cool. Okay, so awesome cool. playlist.
Wait,
and
I want one more CPR song. One more.
Two that you can't go wrong with are Cha-Cha Slide and the Cupid Shuffle.
And what?
Cupid Shuffle.
Okay, don't know that one. So I do know Cha-Cha Slide.
Down, do you then, do you then, down, down, do you.
You guys should go
on YouTube, look up Cupid Shuffle on The Voice, and the dude that sings the Cupid Shuffle got on The Voice, the TV show, and he was like, I want to prove to the world that I'm more than the Cupid Shuffle. And then he got on there and he sang the Cupid Shuffle. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, and they turned around and like CeeLo Green knew him. He was like, Cupid, what are you doing here? And they passed on him. They didn't turn around on the guy. I felt so bad.
Oh,
that really blew up in his face. We'll definitely YouTube great. It.
Yeah,
I'm so going to YouTube that. Okay, cool. All right, so we've got, your book has a playlist that you can automatically, like the go-to songs, the CPR songs. That's pretty awesome. That's great.
Yeah. So that's kind of the first step is putting together that playlist. Now, the kind of the last big two things is one is running a sound system because most people aren't going to have a really nice sound system sitting around.
Actually, go ahead. And what's the next one? But I want to talk about the sound system.
Cool. And then the third one is kind of what we touched on earlier is getting an MC. And most professional DJs sell themselves, and rightfully so, on the fact that they can read a room and kind of make adjustments. Sometimes I look at a DJ as almost like a second coordinator. Maybe you guys could relate to this.
Yeah,
you guys work really closely with the coordinator the day of and kind of being like, hey, in 5 minutes, let's do this. Or, hey, like, this
I was
going
to do the father-daughter dance, but let's move it to later. And you can roll with that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So finding that person that can act as a second coordinator that you could trust enough, beat out of your friend group or a friend of a friend is a big deal.
And MCs are the ones making announcements and introductions. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're the ones saying, table 7, you can go to the buffet now. So it's not all glamorous. It's a practical role.
Exactly.
And not one that you want to hand somebody that's drunk. And if you're the bride or groom, you don't want to do it yourself because that's like directing your own play.
You can totally tell that you guys are from areas that are like have these humongous weddings.
Yeah.
Like
lots of micro events in the South.
Yeah. Well, there's some, I would say like our average ones, maybe like, I just got super like nervous about being judged on this one because what if I'm like, maybe this isn't as big as I think it is. But most of the ones we do are probably like 150, 200.
I think that's average for me too, typical.
Okay.
Mine are actually used to average that, but now I'm averaging 100 or less.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And that's the South, especially with younger brides and grooms, it feels like that's never going to change.
Yes, agreed.
So DJ and the MC are very important.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about the sound system, because I think that, like, creating a playlist, like, all of that, you know, it's kind of, especially people who are into music, like, they enjoy it, like, they want to do it. But those of us who are not technically inclined and don't know about
what equipment and cords
or where even to rent a sound system, or like, okay, the room is this big. Like, do I need one speaker? Do I need two?
And can the speaker
what
be
about
turned?
My ceremony? My ceremony is in a different room. And do I connect those? Like, how do people know where, number one, to rent a sound system? And then, you know, what kind of system, and are they going to use their cell phone, because they might need their cell phone? Are they going to use a shuffle like Christy did? I don't think so. Do they even make those anymore?
I don't think so.
You know, like, are they going to hook up their computer to it? So I think,
yeah. Do you need a special cord?
That's pretty daunting. The sound system part of things.
Yeah. So the setup, and we talk about all the setup in the book as well, and actually I have some videos where I show you how to run it. So people get intimidated, especially when you get a mixer involved, which is one of those things you guys have seen with faders and knobs, and it looks like a piece of space equipment.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that's intimidating to me just for this podcast, because I've heard I should have one of those, and I'm scared of it.
Yeah, no, well, so we kind of go over that, but you don't have to have one to DJ your wedding. Basically, you need two inputs. Only you need one input on a speaker where the iPod or the laptop or the music player can go, and then you need one more for a microphone. So you just need two. And the speakers I use and that I recommend are called the QSC K12s, and I'm not affiliated with that or anything. It's just what I use and what works really well. And it's a 12-inch speaker, and honestly, a 12-inch speaker, two of them are going to cover 99%, unless you're like at the freaking grand ballroom, in which case you can probably afford a DJ, you're going to be fine with two 12-inch speakers. And then I would just say in one channel, and I talk about how to do this in the book, you plug the microphone in one channel, turn the volume up to taste, and then you plug in the laptop or your iPod, I recommend a laptop, into the other channel, and then turn it up to taste, till it's loud enough, and stand in the back and make sure it's loud enough before guests get there, and that's all you have to do.
So your book, if you buy it or the program, it outlines what equipment to get very specifically, and then also step-by-step directions on how to set it up.
Exactly. So okay. I talk about what cables you need to get, where to get them for cheap. In terms of renting a sound system, honestly, the best thing to do is go to Guitar Center or Sam Ash, but those two places are pretty universal. They have stores pretty much everywhere, and it's like under $100. You can get a really good system that's going to work great for you. And I think they rent out those QSC speakers that I talked about. I think that's their thing.
So I want to stop here for a second, and I want to ask you, what's the price of this book? And it's an online guide, or is it a book like you buy on Amazon? Like, what is it?
So this one's just available at my website, which is howtodjyourownwedding.com.
Okay.
And you go there and you can buy just the book, or you can buy the whole course, which has the videos. It has an extra Q&A bonus guide with a lot of questions that aren't covered in the book that people ask me from Reddit and different message boards like that. And it also comes with, let me pull up what the rest of it is.
It's an ebook, right?
It's an ebook. That's right. Mm-hmm. And
ebook, and then you can get the videos. And the videos all come, because I'm looking at your website and it looks like they're packaged, but this all comes like electronically, right?
Yes, so delivered instantly. You get instant access to it right to your mailbox. And when you sign up, you can download a free chapter. And when you download the free chapter, I'm actually going to send you a few bonus videos over the course of a few days that go into a little bit more detail in addition to that free chapter.
This is very affordable.
It's pretty affordable.
Yeah. $34.97? Is that's for the whole shebang?
So it's not bad. And that's kind of an introductory price that we're doing, and I think we're going to take it up in three or four weeks or so.
Okay, so this is only a limited time that you've got this price. Yeah, because I'm like, wow, this is like, download this shit now.
Yeah, right? So, I'm doing an offer for listeners for your show too. So if you do,
oh, you are. I was going to ask you that. Do we get a little discount for our listeners? Oh,
you get a discount. Let me make sure I've got this link right.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you're going to click through, get some money off. So all you have to do is go to howtodjyourownwedding.com. That's all one word. howtodjyourownwedding.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast.
Perfect.
Yep, and that's going to give you access to all that stuff, so go check it out. And I'll send that to you for the show notes and stuff as well.
Yeah,
so
we'll put a link to that for sure. Cool. That'll be great.
Cool.
Awesome. All right, so we talked about the playlist, we talked about the sound system, and then what was the third thing that...
MC, right?
Oh, right. So you recommend allocating someone to be the MC.
I do, and... We kind of go over how to pick that criteria in the book, but definitely I'm going to go over some of it right now. Definitely ask them before the wedding, so don't go up the day of and be like, hey, Bobby, you want to do the emceeing thing like 20 minutes? That'll probably freak someone out, and that way they can get a little prepared. And then you want to pick someone that's confident and not afraid of the mic. So you don't have to pick like the next best public speaker, master of the universe kind of guy. Just someone that's going to get up there and be like, hey guys, we're going to do the garter toss in 5 minutes. Or hey guys, we're going to dismiss table 7, table 8.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be someone that's going to stand up there and tell jokes for an hour or anything. Just someone that's going to be confident on the mic and going to speak clearly and speak confidently.
And stick to the plan, which is one of your next steps, is like you have to have a plan, a timeline, an order of events and announcements.
Exactly.
A list of names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the 10 steps too, is outline the flow of your day. So if whether you're doing just the reception or you want to do the ceremony, cocktail hour, all that, just outline it. And it doesn't have to be, well, I say that it should be fairly detailed if you're using an MC. That way it takes the guesswork. Because the more guesswork you take out of their day and their job, the more confident they're going to be versus just like, reception 7 to 11.
Yeah, and introduce like, bridal party, and they're like, "Yeah, how do I pronounce this last name? Who is this person?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, write down phonetically how to pronounce the names, and then I would tell the MC. This is what I always do: is even if it's written down, go up right before you're announcing it, like 5-10 minutes, and just make sure they're in the right order. So, because a lot of times we're announcing for people that we haven't met, and so we don't know all 12 names of a bridal party, and so if we get confused, people are like, what the heck, that's not my name, and they freak out, and it's like a right. You know, big deal. So just go up and double check the names.
Yeah, that's great. I that's all good advice. And I will say, when you said that, I was just remembering a wedding I did a few months ago in San Francisco. The father of the groom at the very last minute made a little toast, and I said to the DJ, like, it wasn't on my schedule, and I'm like, his name is, you know, let's say John. His name is John. If you know, he's the father of the groom, and you know, just announce him. And the DJ was, you know, this is, guys, we're gonna hear from the father of the groom. Give it up for Jeff.
Uh-oh.
And everybody's clapping, but everybody's kind of looking at each other. And the father of the groom was clueless. He didn't even hear that he said the wrong name. And so he just like grabbed the microphone, and it was literally a 2-second like, congratulations.
Gosh,
you went back, and I was like, ah.
That's why I don't say. I used to be like, yeah, give it up for Jeff, father. I just say now, all right, we're gonna have the father of the bride, because there have been times where. I remember I had a guy, and I was like, all right, the father of the bride's going to come up and say a blessing. And he was like, a blessing? No, like, I'm just doing this. And people get super, I guess because they're nervous.
Yeah,
and
throws them off.
Mm-hmm. So I just keep it simple now. I'm just like, the father of the bride's going to come up and speak.
You're
so
like, here's another person saying things.
Yeah, super general. Because when you get specific, people get a little... a little nervous.
From planner to DJ, I did want to ask you about a couple things, just because we're, you know, picking your brain and we work with all different kinds of DJs. But
please, yeah.
Is there a song or two songs that, like, you as a DJ just hate to play? Like, either they've been played so much or they're just such a horrible song, but you get requests all the time and you're just like, I fucking hate this song. Anything?
Yeah. Yes. So I've got two. Can I say two?
Yes, please.
Okay. So one is, if I'm doing a live band, it's Wagon Wheel. I cannot stand.
We don't even know
song.
That song.
I don't know this song.
So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel.
Oh, I know. Okay.
Yeah, is this a country song?
I think that's a really sweet song. You're not into that? It kind of puts people to sleep.
I was into it the first, like, I'd say 5,000 times I played it. And then after that.
There it is.
It's not. The magic's been lost on me at some point.
Every time you play that song, an angel loses her wings.
Yeah, a DJ loses his soul or you know, something like that. But in terms of DJing, I there's not a song I'm tired of, really. I tell you, someone that I kind of roll my eyes, and I'm probably going to get a lot of pushback for this, but little Eddie Sheeran, I'm kind of overhearing all the Ed Sheeran stuff. I get that. They want to hear his whole. Sometimes I think if I just put on an Ed Sheeran record, people would just
leave you alone for the rest of the night.
Yeah, exactly. So Ed's making a killing on royalties off of weddings these past few years, but I could do without some of the Ed Sheeran stuff.
I hear you. I hear that.
He's great, but I'm just a little tired.
What is your number one or a couple of songs that you like for the couples to maybe do their grand entrance to, if they're doing a grand entrance, which frankly, my weddings, nobody's doing this anymore, but you guys probably are where you're at, right?
We're seeing them a lot. Yeah. And that's like the one, I wanted to ask you that because it seems like the one place where couples really, really, really personalize, like picking a song that might not be a hit, but was super important to them. My last two brides, they entered to Scissor Sisters, I Don't Feel Like Dancing, which was so fun.
And let's clarify what we mean by a grand entrance, because this is not a first dance.
Or a procession. Yeah. It's not the ceremony. It's an introduction into the reception.
Exactly. So this is the part where, you know, everyone has kind of come in and sat down for dinner maybe, or just kind of standing around. And then all of a sudden the lights go in and it's like, hey, everybody, like, we're going to introduce the bridal party and please welcome Mr. and Mrs. John Smith. And everyone claps and the bride and groom walk in and everyone's clapping. And so for that, you're right. That's where you can get more personal because the music is not acting as a dance instigator. It's more just background.
Yeah, it's not a catalyst for anything.
Exactly. So you can pick anything. And same with Cocktail Hour. So Cocktail Hour, that's when I would put in the songs that maybe wouldn't do well for a dance floor, but would, like with our Cocktail Hour for my wife and I, we used a lot of, she loves John Mayer, so we used a lot of the new John Mayer stuff and some Jason Isbell and just slower, mellow tunes that kind of meant something to us over the last few years of our relationship. And that's great because it's just kind of background. So people, you're not using it to get people out onto a dance floor.
And what about the grand entrance? What are a couple of favorites for that are good?
I hear a lot of different stuff, but the one I hear most commonly right now is "Can't Stop the Feeling." Just JT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that song is very catchy.
Yes, that's a cool one, and just songs like that. That we did "You Shook Me All Night Long" by AC/DC a few weeks ago for one. That was a cool one.
Nice.
Those are about as varietal, is that a word? Varietal, various, varying as you can get. So we hear all different ones versus some of the same mother son songs and father daughters.
Yeah.
How about first dance songs? What are some of your favorites, or some that people might not really think of, and you think sound really great?
So first dance. So my wife and I did "God Only Knows" by the Beach Boys.
A great song.
Yeah, I liked that one.
That's that's the Big Love theme song, Christy. Mm-hmm. Remember Big Love? Did you watch Big Love?
Yes, I totally love that song. Do you remember your first dance song, Michelle?
Yes, it's Etta James "At Last."
A classic.
A classic. But when I got married in 2001, that was one of the most popular ones.
Mine was Jack Johnson, "Fortunate Fool." And I still love that song, and I'm so glad we chose it. And every time I hear it, which is not that often because it's not one of his biggest hits, I totally think about our wedding and that first dance. So it's those are really sweet. What are some big ones you're seeing for couples now?
I mean, At Last is a pretty popular one. Kind of what you touched on. That's a good one. One that has been kind of making a comeback, or not a comeback, is the Ed Sheeran song, Thinking Out Loud. We see that, I see that probably every fifth or sixth wedding, Thinking Out Loud would be one.
My brides just walked down the aisle to that 2 weeks ago, the instrumental version of the Vitamin C Quartet or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah, people love that Vitamin C Quartet. Like, that's a big thing,
too. It's cool to take pop songs or, like, a Guns N' Roses song and have it played by a string quartet. I think it's cool and hip, and people recognize it, but they might not be distracted, you know, by it. Like, is that Guns N' Roses? It's more just like, hey, that's kind of cool. So, yeah, so Vitamin C Quartet. If you don't have live musicians for your ceremony, that's a good one to look up any of your favorite pop songs. And then
great one.
They probably do it.
Mm-hmm. I have a new favorite one that I had never heard before for a first dance, but it worked so well. Never Knew Love Like This Before by Stephanie Mills.
I don't know that one.
I think I would recognize it, but I don't know it offhand either.
It's an old song. I never knew love like this before.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now
gotcha, okay.
Never more. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it was great because she was a really good dancer, but he was just kind of like this
back and forth
step guy. So she got to be fun and flirtatious on the dance floor and dance around him with it, and people were clapping and they loved it. It was so good.
God, I didn't know that's what that song was called. I do know the tune, but yeah, you got the title and everything. That's like
I put it on my Spotify.
You're a pretty good singer, Michelle.
Thank you.
You got a voice on you. Look at that.
Offhand.
Yeah, you can off the cuff sing. You can belt it out.
Belt it. Cool. Okay, what others?
Usually parent dances.
Oh, yeah, the parent. Again, you guys are probably doing a lot of these. And I don't know. What's up, Callie? You know,
They're throwing away wedding traditions right and left out there.
They're throwing away wedding traditions, but I did it at my wedding, you know, the parents dance, the father-son.
father-son. Father-son,
daughter, mother-son dance. What do you like?
So what I like is a little different from what I hear a lot. A father-daughter song I really love, and I'll hear it maybe once a year or twice, is Daughter by Loudon Wainwright. I think that's a really cool use of a father-daughter song that you don't hear a lot. You hear I Loved Her First a lot by Heartland. Yeah. That's kind of the number one.
Or Brown-Eyed Girl.
Brown-Eyed Girl, you hear that a lot. But Daughter by Loudon Wainwright is a really, really cool one.
I got to look that one
and
up.
And then I hadn't heard it really before, too. It's Rufus Wainwright's father, I believe I've got that right.
Well, that's a talented family.
Yeah, seriously. I believe that's right. I might be mistaken. But, it's just a cool song. He's kind of an old poet, kind of a songwriter in the old sense of a word, and it's great. And then for the mother-son, I really like Humble and Kind by Tim McGraw. That's kind of been
a
popular one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been a good one. That's what we danced to, my mother and I. And
I tear up just thinking about mother-son dances because every wedding I do when the mom dances with the son that's a groom and he's like an adult and I'm a crazy person, but I just flash forward to seeing my 7-year-old as an adult.
I get that.
I just lose it every time I lose it.
She cries easily,
I don't
Brandon.
Want him to grow up. Stop growing.
She's a crier.
Well,
here she goes.
We need to stop the tape and talk about this. We're going to get you through this. No,
we're going to get you through this, buddy.
Yeah.
You got to stop breastfeeding now, okay? He's 7. Yeah.
We're not here to pass judgment, just advice.
Right. Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
But I think you're right. I think that's the time, because most of the day is focused on
The
bride and kind of the father of the bride.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the big thing. And so that's really when the, and I touch on this in the book, that's really a time when the mother kind of can shine and kind of gets her moment. And it is a really sweet and touching thing. I think when the father gets really emotional is usually when he gives the toast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that mother-son dance is a really cool event to watch unfold a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the moms get really into it, and the sons, like you said, they're kind of awkwardly dancing, like, oh, I don't know how to do this. It's a sweet thing. Yeah, it's really sweet.
I think it depends on the dynamic between the parent and the child. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, if you're one of those families that do not dance and do not smile for photos, you know, maybe you forgo that whole thing. And I've seen plenty of those. My song that I did with my dad, I really liked it. It was Unforgettable, the duet with Natalie and Nat King Cole. I love that for...
That's a great one.
Father-daughter dance.
I love the classy songs like that. Like, talk, you know, and going with Frank Sinatra or any of that Rat Pack kind of cocktail hour. Like, it's classy. It kind of paints a really cool vibe over a dance, and it just makes it really special. It's a cool thing.
And then the one that I recommend for anybody who's like, okay, we'll do it, but I want to make it quick, is What a Wonderful World. That's a really fast, like, it's a good to slow dance to, but it's like, what, maybe a 3-minute song?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one, too. Christy, well, do you remember what yours was?
I'm trying to think about it now. I think it might have been What a Wonderful World, now that you say it. But it might have been Amazing Grace, which is weird, but it was, that's like my dad's, he used to sing that to me. I'm going to cry again. He used to like sing that to me when I was a baby, and he was in the military, so I'm split. I'm gonna have to like text him or look back through my archives to see, but it might have been Amazing Grace, just like for a minute of it or some, you know, or so.
Yeah.
I must be about to start my period or something. I am very emotional today.
No, let it out.
Hey-o!
Man, the power of music. Oh yeah, sorry, no pun intended right there. That's
I don't know. I'm like having Brilliant a hot slip. Flash or something.
Well, it's hot. It's summer, but okay.
Well, here's a good point too that you guys bring up, and we touch on this in the book as well, is how long to play those dances. A lot of people go in and like, I just play the whole song. It's like, hey, I super strongly say don't do that, mm-hmm. because 5 minutes turns into an eternity
and it's awkward.
When you're doing that. Super. Yeah, I say 90 seconds to 2 minutes is a really good sweet spot for a dance like that.
I think so, too. I always put that note that in my timeline as well. You do, too, right, Michelle? Like mm-hmm. a minute and a half-ish?
I usually actually recommend one song when I have done them in the past, and actually start out with the father, and then what do we do? Then the groom goes out and asks his mom to dance
all to
in
one
the
song.
Middle of the song. And then that way, if it's like one long song, then that's all you have to do. Because everybody's like standing there staring. And, you know, like the couple kind of really wants to touch each other, but they're with their parents right now. And just don't, you know. Yeah. So I always do one song, to be honest. I think it's more than enough.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea. And honestly, that works better when I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
I think it keeps people engaged a lot longer than a 10-minute you know, spreading out of three different tunes.
You just don't want it. You don't want to. Well, anyway, I'm not going to say it. So, you know, sometimes it's just a little too affectionate. I'll say that. We don't want to be too affectionate with the mother, son, father, daughter dance. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, Brandon, I'm really glad that we did this. Like, I actually hadn't thought of a lot of these things. And I love that we were able to throw some good song choices out there to people that are listening.
Yeah.
Thank you for offering that discount to our listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me on and letting me talk and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, it was fun.
Very good. So we're on Twitter at TBWP Podcast. And Brandon, I saw that you were on Twitter as well, but that's not necessarily for how to DJ your own wedding. Right.
Yeah, but how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Best way to get in touch with me personally is our entertainment company, which is UptownDownEntertainment.com. And you can email me personally at Brandon@UptownDownEntertainment.com. That's going to go right to me, and I'll answer. And I'll, tell some jokes and tell some tips and all kinds of stuff.
And give legal advice.
And legal advice. Yeah, I was just going to ask about that.
I give discounted free legal advice as well as medical advice too.
So perfect.
And that's serving like Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, tri-state. What's it called over there?
Tri-state. No, that's a Georgia, Alabama, just kind of any of the states surrounding Georgia.
Okay.
And if the price is right, we'll fly out to California and Texas and all that stuff too, in Boston.
Bring a little Southern comfort out to California.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, we'll go anywhere. So.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Tweet us, Facebook,
TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast.com.
Is our website. TheBigWeddingPlanningPodcast@gmail.com is our email. And thank you so much, Brandon and Christy. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you. Bye.
Happy planning. Bye-bye.